Yeah, and we're going to talk about the subject. To use the word man, but really I'm going to apply this to men and women. But you can be a man of faith. You can be a woman of faith. It's just that it's not catchy for a title to have man/woman. So you can be a man/woman of faith. And I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. Now you're in 12. If you were to back up, really the story of Abraham and the covenant, it really begins back up in verse maybe 28 of chapter 11. It says, And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. Okay, and Abram and Nahor took them wives, and perhaps I should have just read a little bit earlier so you know that Nahor, Haran, and let me just back up to verse 27 and read that. It says, now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So these three guys are brothers. And Haran begat Lot. And so Lot would be the son-in-law, I'm sorry, the nephew of Abraham. So it says, and Haran, whichever way you pronounce it, died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. So the son died before the father, and Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran. So he married an immediate family. And it says, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees and to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Well, and I'll just read verse 1 of 12 for a moment. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. So, in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1, it sort of brings to us that the calling was not really Terah's. Now, he gets the first mention back up in verse 31 or so, and 29, 30, 31. He gets the first mention on leaving the land, but that's respectful of his position, as all the Jewish writers and scribes would put his name first. But in chapter 12, verse 1, the calling was Abram's. And Abram, it says, get thee out of thy country. So God called him. It appears that Terah decided to come along. Now, Terah was an old man. He really is only going to live 5 years after he leaves with Abram. And it mentions Canaan in verse number 31, but three other places in the Bible it tells us that Abram left not knowing where he was going. This is almost a historical remembrance, looking back, writing in verse 31, where it tells him to go into the land of Canaan. He didn't tell that to Abram at the time. This is the recording of what the plan was. So, Terah, the dad, was the leader of the patriarch, the leader of the tribe. And when it mentions these names, there's a lot of baggage attached to each name listed. Terah was a patriarchal head of his home. He had cattle and sheep and servants. And then Abram, we'll learn later, was the very same. He too, by the time they departed, and he was, I guess, 70 at the time, and he too was a patriarchal head of a home, though he only had a wife who was barren. He had servants, he had sheep and goats, the things they considered as wealth. Now, the brother, the same way. Nahor, is that his name? Yes. Nahor, he too was a head like that, and his wife Milcah, and they had their servants, their manservants and so forth, and they had their package coming. When these guys came out, it was like seeing an army and herds and everything leaving the land. So it was a big deal for them to move out. And not just three or four people, they had a bunch of folks with them when they left. So it was a big deal for them to move. Now, there's a lot of speculation as to why they moved. We know some things. We know that when it talks about the Chaldees, now history records the Chaldees as Sumerians, if you take a Western Civ course, the Sumerians, or you might later, at a later time, the Jews call them, and we call them Babylonians, but that's a later time. So the Ur of the Chaldees, and the word Ur, what Ur was a city, but the word Ur is a Hebrew word. The Babylonians or the Chaldeans called that city something else. Jewish hadn't come along yet. But the Hebrews referred to it as Ur because Ur means fire or light. Now the reason they referred to it as that is because, and really in the land of Shinar, as they called it, which was Babylon, the province of Babylon, or the land of the Chaldees, all of that is much the same. In that area, the primary false god worship was what they called or considered, I forget the name, but the god of fire. And they worshiped the god of fire. Many times, to appease the god of fire, they would feed innocent folk into the fire. Right. They call it baptism, like we baptize by water. They baptize by fire. And as a matter of fact, now around the 10th century, the Talmud, someone got the idea, and then a lot of Jewish writings came to pass. There's no real credible history to this, but there are many folks that believe this part may be true because so many of the ancient historians believe it, that the older brother, who he was the senior brother, the one that died in the land, what was his name? Nahor Haran, whichever one he is. He died in the land. There are many that believe that he died in conflict with this whole false god worship. In other words, they took him and offered him up. A lot of folks believe that, and that sparked Terah's leaving the land. There's really nothing credible that says that, though, so I'm really not going to bring that thought in as credible. But I will say this, that Terah himself was a worshiper of false gods. As a matter of fact, if you look with me, and I'll show you in Joshua chapter 24, the last chapter in Joshua, you'll see that this Terah and his family were idol worshipers. In Joshua 24, I'll read verse 1 just to give you time, but verse 2 is the one I'm after. Now, while you're searching, I'll go through verse 1. It says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God." And Joshua's about to speak to him as God has spoken to him. He says, "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood." Now that flood isn't the flood of Noah. That flood is the flooding Euphrates River. Haran is just across Euphrates River. As a matter of fact, how many of you have ever looked at maps of the Middle East? Have you ever entertained that? If you go to the northern end, way beyond the northern end of Palestine, go complete, keep going north, and what is modern-day Turkey, the lower end of it, if you were to look at where the Euphrates River comes up, anybody familiar with what I'm describing right now? If you look on the map where the Euphrates River comes up, actually, yeah, it comes around like this. Haran, there's a big city there right now. It has historically been a very, very fertile area. As a matter of fact, if you Google down, you'll see a big rectangular shaped fertile spot on Google World right now, and this ancient, where ancient Haran was, and a huge city built right next door to feed off of that area. So this was an area where people went to typically. When Tira came out, Tira was headed somewhere good. A comfortable place to die, probably. But he's on the other side of the flood, Haran, the other side of the Euphrates River. And it says, your fathers dwelt, he's speaking to those who just come through the 40 years of the wilderness, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood. In old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. He was a worshiper of false gods. Nahor was a worshiper of false gods. Haran, before he left Babylon, was probably a worshiper of false gods. Out of the whole bunch of them, Abram was the only one not worshiping false gods that we know of.
Right.
And the whole group that came out, the massive group that came out of Babylon, or the Ur of the Chaldees, all of them that came out following Abram's lead. Abram had heard from God. God said, get on the move and get out of this wicked land. And about the only thing you can imagine Abram did is he went to his daddy and he said, Daddy, God, the God of the heavens, the God who created man, God of Abraham, well, he is Abraham. I can't say that. And God of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, why don't we say that? The God of Noah, He who has preserved us through the flood. God of heaven has come to me and said, get up and go.
Yep. Yes, sir.
God said, go. We don't know what kind of promise, if any, God made Abram at that point. We only know that God said, go. And Abram chose to go. I'm going to ask you something. This is kind of tough. The whole family would rather be at home watching TV on a Sunday night than in church. Everybody I know is not going to be there. All of my friends used to be Disney. You remember when Disney was the Sunday night distraction? They're all going to be home watching the Super Bowl. And I know y'all aren't going to watch Super Bowl at church.
Amen.
Amen. They're not going to be there. Yet God said, get up and go. What are you going to do? Get up and go. Get up and go, right? That's what God said do. Hey, we just, Ray Bolts sent him out of our church. The whole world, and I'm going to tell you, their whole family says, are you crazy? You're going to raise those girls down in the jungle? Are you crazy? But God, somewhere in the background, had called and said, go. Everybody, the whole herd keepers, the family, mama and daddy, sister and brother, they're all saying, are you serious? We have our television over here, and we can get Wi-Fi, and you can't get that in the jungle. You can't even Skype, for Pete's sake. You can't do that. You're going to break up our family. You know, that's what missionaries go through. Did you know that's what missionaries go through? God said, go. Abram said, I'm going. You can stay here and worship fire all day long. All you want to do. The God of our fathers has come to me and said, there's a bigger and better plan for you. There's something worth getting on the move for. I've got just enough of that faith we're talking about this morning that I'm just going to follow God and see what He does. I'm going. Son, we just buried your brother. Now you're going to head off up to the jungle somewhere, Canaan. Well, they didn't even, I don't think they even knew about Canaan then. You're just going to head out, just going to go up the road, and that is what they did. The direction they traveled, all the Hebrews that left the Babylonian land, the old Ur of the Chaldees, all there was a lot of Hebrews who made the trip. Abram wasn't the first. The path he chose to go on coming out is typically the path they went on when they left. Probably Haran in the New Testament, Charan it calls it. Charan, I don't know. Charan. Was probably the destination that come to mind. Because it was a great place to settle. Many Hebrews had made that trip. So are you serious? You're going to Turkey? Really? Asia Minor? The north end of the Euphrates River? What on earth are you thinking? I'm really not thinking, Dad. Honestly, I don't even know how to tell you what I'm going through right now. All I know is I was praying to the God of heaven. You know, the one who created the stuff those people are burning to be able to worship their fire. I'm worshiping Him. I'm in my prayer closet and I'm talking to God. And He said, go. So what are you going to do, Abram? I'm going to go, Daddy. And he says, well, you're not leaving me here. You're not leaving me here. I'm going too. We don't know much about Lot. The Bible calls him just Lot in the New Testament. But somehow, he caught Abram's vision. Because every step along the way, he stays with Abram. I'm not sure that he had faith so much as he figured he'd stick with the guy that does. By the way, if you haven't figured out how to get some moral conviction and put some belief on that and let that ascend you to the place that you're able to put trust in God. If you haven't come to the place of trusting God yet, a good place to be is with someone who has. It's a good thing to do. So here they are. They've come out and it says, and we know the whole idol worship never went away. Have you ever wondered why when Abram sent his manservant over to get a wife for Isaac, why that girl was so quick to light on a camel and take off with him? You ever been around people that worship somebody besides God? There is no good God besides our God. There is no good God besides the one we serve. We serve a good God, and that's wonderful because there are no others. And life is miserable. And when Rebecca was called upon, Daddy said, Laban said, hey, sweetheart, we want you to stick around 10 days. And she says, you know, if it's all the same to you, I'm going. You know why? Because they serve the God of heaven. Shem, Ham, Japheth. They serve Noah's God. They serve the true God. I think I'm going with them, Daddy. Same thing that Daddy said to Abram, I'm going with you. In chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country. And that's exactly what Abram did. He got up and he started traveling. He took his animals, took his herds, he took his stocks, he took his servants, he took the maid servants, the men servants, he took all of his gold, his jewels. He didn't leave anything there. When God said go, he picked it all up and he went. Mind immediately goes to the missionary. You just go. So, the obvious question is, where has God told you to go? What has He told you to do? Now, the reason I ask that question is because if you're living a life of faith, God has a purpose. There's a purpose. And it's bigger than you and me. It's bigger than the Ur of the Chaldees, and it's bigger than Haran. It's bigger than the whole land and everything else. God's plan is big. And what has He told you to do? Serious question. Because it's worth leaving the false gods behind for. We all have them in our lives. We do. When's the last time you're tempted to stay home and watch the game instead of do anything God said do? We get home from work. I remember working all night Saturday night, and it's time to go to church. Man, that pillow's calling. Yet, you know, I can go to church. I've done that. But I'll tell you what, I've done it, and my heart was at home in the pillow. The pillow held my heart. All I'm saying is, every one of us have those choices to make. It says, get thee out of thy country. But then he says, God wasn't okay with the plan. Abram said, I'm going. And Terah said, well, I'm going too. I'm going so that they'll put my name ahead of yours in the book. When they tell the story, it'll look like my idea. I'm going too. But God wasn't okay with that. God said, get thee out of thy country. And then He says, and from thy kindred. Hey, there has to be a break sometime or another. I've got to tell you, when I got saved, I had family and close friends that were ungodly. Many of them still are. I wasn't ugly, but something I figured out along the way. And I tried to, man, you ever try to straddle that fence? Try to hang on to the worldly people you love. And hey, listen, the worldly people that you love don't want anything to do with this other stuff you love. They just don't. I mean, I don't know how to say that I don't know how to sound more compassionate about that. But what I learned is you don't, it isn't you saying we have to make a choice. There are two saying that. God says make a choice, and they say make a choice. Those people are not interested in this new God of yours. They're not interested in this new direction that God has. I'm going to tell you, that very choice. You remember me giving my testimony how I backslid after about 6 or 7 months, and man, I ran from the Lord for 2 years. But I'll tell you, what was instrumental in that was trying to hang on to those worldly friends and relatives, trying to keep them heavy in my life. But God said, remember the day I surrendered? 2 years after, it was still the same choice. God said, I'm over here, right where I was when you left me. You can't be over there and over here at the same time. It isn't that God doesn't love those people. God wants to save those people. Some of them are saved. Did you know that? Some of those worldly people that draw to the world. I believe Lot was saved. But man, he was tugging in that direction the whole encounter that we know of him. But there are just people who, they're not in. And what do? You have to choose. God said, step out of that. I need you over here. What do you do with that? You choose. You choose. Life is full of choices. You either choose to follow God or you choose not to. Yeah, but Cain, that just doesn't sound like the God I know. Boy, if it doesn't, you may not know Him as well as you think. God confronts us with choices all the time. Oh, how we need to make right choices. Sir. To walk with God. He says, get out of the country, Abram. I want to read it the way it says it. I can almost get it, but I don't want to almost get it. It says, from thy kindred. And then it says, from thy father's house. Did you know that as long as he stayed there with his patriarchal head, he's under the authority of the patriarchal head? He doesn't become the authoritative head until he moves away. Abram had authority to deal with. God says, I am the only authority I'm willing for you to have. I'm going to do great things with you, but it comes at a cost. Christian, that's something to remember. God wants to do great things with us. But if He could use us the way we are, then He wouldn't. There's a lot of things that we wouldn't be going through. God says, get out from under the authority of the patriarchal head. You are about to become the patriarchal head. Off the cuff, most of us here tonight would not know Terah's name. Am I right about that? I mean, I do. I've been studying Abraham for a long time. But my study of Abraham led me to Terah. I didn't know about Nahor, Milcah. None of those people made sense to me. I didn't even know about Eber. And everyone that's a descendant of Eber is a Hebrew. I only got there because I was studying Abraham. Hey, listen. It's the guy with faith that we know. The guy that had the faith to step out, to leave the country that God called him out of, to let go of the worldly relationships, and to get out from under the authority of one who yields to false gods. Submit only to God. That's a commitment to make. Surrender only to God. This is what he said do. This is what he said do. And then he made a promise connected to it. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and will make thy name great. God has done all of these things for Abraham. And at the end of that verse, it's not a promise, it's a statement of fact. It says, and thou shalt be a blessing. So he connects promise to it. Did you know that in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen is preaching, you remember the preaching deacon and the one that was stoned, and Paul was standing there holding the cloaks. Do you remember that? When Stephen was preaching in Acts chapter 7, around verses 2, 3, and 4, in there somewhere he mentions that after 5 years, in other words, Abram left when Terah died. He's the father of our faith. But he wasn't willing to just walk away from daddy, as far as we know. It seems like he waited for Abram's dad to die. And then he left. He left to go to the promised land in Canaan. And so he moves. And by the way, this is another path that he was not the first Hebrew to make the journey from Haran or Haran down to Palestine. It was called the King's Highway going down through there. Many people made that journey. And it said, because of the Assyrian kings making their way to Egypt, they took that path. In And when Abram got there, he wasn't the first Hebrew. We know in the Bible that he purchased for his wife. You remember when he buried her, he purchased a tomb from the other Hebrews that were in the land. He says, "So I'll make of thee a great nation." He's done that. Listen, when we follow God by faith, it never passes me that He is not obligated to us for anything. He's not obligated at all. As a matter of fact, if we just live the good life that comes from following what He tells us to do, we've been blessed by the grace of God. If we just live in the showers of blessings that come from separating ourselves from the worldly and the ungodly, if we just do those things, that in itself is enough to justify following God. But there's always promise above and beyond for the one who's willing to live by faith.
Yes, sir.
If you're willing to live by faith, God promises blessing. There's always blessing. You can, and Malachi, it says that He'll open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, such as you cannot be contained. God always blesses the one who lives by faith. So it says, I'll make a great nation. He did. I will bless thee. Bestow His benefits upon him, make him happy. And then He says, and make thy name great. All of these things we know about Abraham. Later Abraham, at this time Abram. And then it says, this statement of fact, not a promise, and thou shalt be a blessing. That word blessing is a curious word. It has to do with presenting almost like a form of worship. In that statement, He's not saying you'll be a blessing to the world around you. He's telling Abram, you will bless me. If you just do what I've told you to do, allow me to bless you because of your faith. And even today, He's faithful Abraham, right? Even today, He's the father of our faith. Well, that's how we know Him. God has blessed him. He's blessed him. And in it, as a statement of fact, God says, you will be a blessing. But He's not a blessing to you and me, because the only one that can be blessed the way that word blessing means is God Almighty.
Amen.
He says, if you just do what I say, live by faith and trust me. Just trust me. If you will do that, you will be a blessing to me.
Amen.
Have you ever wanted to just please God? But we read it this morning. It's, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But listen, you can go beyond pleasing God. Faith can carry you into that area where you are a blessing to Him indeed. Have you ever thought about that? Couldn't you do that? And best we can tell, that's just a result of living by faith. Nothing else. Just living by faith. Being a blessing to God. That's one to think about, isn't it? The next sentence has a curious ending as well. The next verse. But it's in verse 3 it says, I will bless them that bless thee. And then it says, I really want to preach on these things, but curse them that curseth thee. Our country. This promise will always stand.
Yes, it will, sir.
This promise will always stand. God help us for wavering in our support of Israel. I don't care. I'm tired of trying to come up with some good reason to support Israel. Listen, to me it's not about the nation of Israel over there as it stands. What I know is, being a descendant of the forefathers of this great country, God help us to stand by the children of faithful Abraham.
Amen.
As a country, we can hope to be blessed if we stand with the children of Abraham. It doesn't even matter if they're faithful. I know they're ungodly. I know many of them don't even believe their own Judaism. They deny it. Netanyahu is not a religious guy. But in the end of things, if we could be a blessing to the children of Abraham, that's where we need to stand. Aren't you glad we have a missionary to the children of Abraham to take the blessing of the gospel? It says, "And curse him that curseth thee." God help us to never fall into that. I every time I turn the news on, I fear that that's what we're about to do. To curse them. You know, it used to be said of the country of Great Britain that the sun never sets on their empire. You know when that began to come to an end? At the end of World War II, when they turned on Israel.
Right.
And following that, the sun sets a lot on Great Britain. The Lord has diminished that country, and He can diminish this one. God help us to stand with the seed of Abraham. It says, "In thee." Here's another one of those statements of fact. It's not a promise, this last phrase. "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Abraham, you're going to bless me. You'll be a blessing to me if you live by faith. But that word, I mean, that's a hard word study. The words at toward the end of that sentence. And I challenge you to go home and spend some time with it. But when it says that, "shall all families of the earth be blessed," that blessed is much like that word blessing at the end of chapter, in the end of verse 2. It's the kind of thing that can only be aimed at God. He's the only receiver of that kind of blessing. And it says, "shall all families of the earth be able to bless me?" Abram, if you'll trust me, if you will trust me, if you will just live the way I'm telling you to live, do what I'm telling you to do. First of all, I'll make everybody know they'll know you forever. Bless him that bless you, curse him that curse you. But Abram, you will be a blessing to me. And through you, all other people will have the opportunity to be a blessing to me, says God Almighty. That's quite a thought. Abram was faithful. He made some mistakes, you know that? We all know that. But he lived by faith. And he did what God said to do. And through it all, he was a blessing to God. And because of his faith, we can be a blessing to God. Because we can live with the same kind of faith. We really can. Much to be said about faithful Abraham and his influence on us today. Oh, that we could live by faith. I'm going to suggest to you that any person in this room could live by faith. You could live a life of faith. Did you know that? We have everything we need. We have the Word of God. The words, the author of this book is the source of its authority. We can trust it. We can build our moral conviction on it. We can wrap our beliefs around that. Allow us to ascend to realms of trusting God and stepping out and doing what He says do. Hey, listen, when we do that, we're blessing to God. A blessing to God. Isn't that what you want to be tonight? A blessing to God. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Go ahead and get ready. I'm going to invite you tonight. An invitation. We're just going to... Matter of fact, I'm going to ask Brother Bell to come on up here to the platform. Kind of different from what we normally do. I'm going to ask him to lead us to a song. Maybe, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Can we do that one? Have Thine Own Way. I'm going to invite you to go and stand. Let's go and stand. Here's the invitation tonight. I'm looking around and we're mostly home folks. Listen, if you've never accepted Christ as personal Savior and you don't even know what that means, the opportunity is here tonight. And if you don't know what that is, just make your way out, come down into the aisle, come down this old-fashioned altar and let us know and we'll help you with that. But I want to extend this invitation along the line of the message. Wouldn't you like to be a blessing to God? You can be a person of faith. I'm going to ask Bell to lead us in that song. If you know it, what page is it, Brother Bell?
155.
155, if you want to sing it with us. But the Lord is moving. Listen, I'm making it not so easy. Everybody's looking. Wouldn't you like to step out by faith and come down here and commit to God that you'll live by faith? Let's sing, Brother Bell.